Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for SN Fresen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Adrian, your host for today, and I thought about the 9 days that are coming up, so I'm going to focus on the vegetarian stuff. Food options that often challenge people in ways they're not expecting to be challenged. Vegetarian food, I know we all make jokes about vegetarians and, you know, it's the standing joke. How do you know somebody's a vegetarian? Wait 5 minutes, I'll tell you. Well, the truth is that vegetarians aren't wrong. There is so much healthy nutrients, or so many, excuse the English, healthy nutrients in your vegetarian options if you choose them correctly. And I know that one of the things that I got brought up with was that kind of not a balanced meal if there is no animal protein on your plate. But the truth is that the vegetable proteins provide as many nutrients and sometimes even more and better. I think it's just a matter of how you put them together and what you choose to do with them. So why obviously I'm talking about vegetarian is because the 9 days are coming up very soon. We're in the currently in the 3 weeks, and it's a tough time for people, the 9 days. We seem to get almost as stressed for the 9 days as we do for Pesach, just because suddenly you've got these meat eaters who are now not allowed to eat meat. And the truth is it's only for 5 days because Shabbos counts, and you can have meat in Shabbos. So there is your thing. I pretend it's Meatless Monday for the whole week. For me, I introduced my Meatless Monday into my household more as a challenge for myself to challenge my cooking skills and to learn more. But it is a healthier way, and it is cheaper in the long run to eat vegetarian with the cost of food so high that it is ridiculous. Feeding a large family, sometimes vegetarian is the only way to go. And that does not mean fish, because fish is actually more expensive than meat. Now, what is this month of Av? Like, why is it such an issue? And why are we going to have the 9 days? Well, I went looking, and there is a lot of history involved in Av, especially Tisha B'Av, which will be the end where we fast. And, you know, the next day you can return to normal. So here are the things that happened. There was in the common era was the spies returned from Israel with evil reports. That is the Hebrew year 2448. Then in the Hebrew year 3340 was the destruction of the first temple by the Babylonians, and about 100,000 Jews were killed during that time. In 3830, destruction of the second temple by the Romans, and over 2.5 million Jews died as a result of the war, famine, and disease, and 1 million were exiled to all parts of the Roman Empire, plus 100,000 who were sold as slaves by the Romans. And they were killed in the gladiator games. In 3892, Bar Kokhba revolt crushed and Beitar was destroyed. 100,000 were killed. In 3893, Turnus Rufus plows the site of the temple. So now the temple has been destroyed, and now he just plows over it and sets up a pagan city right on the site of Jerusalem. In 4855, the Crusades declared by the Pope Urban II, 10,000 Jews were killed within the first month of the Crusades, and they brought a lot of death to Jews. In 5050, the Jews were expelled from England, and this accompanied pogroms and confiscation of our books. 5252 was the Spanish and Portugal Inquisition, and that was the final one, and Jews were expelled from the Iberian Peninsula. In 5674, which equates to the English date of 1914, and for those who know, this was when Germany and Russia declared war on each other for the First World War. Now, a lot of people say that the Second World War was actually just a continuation. So a very long history of Jewish hostages, Jewish death starts in 1914. And then in 1942, which is 5702, is the deportation from Warsaw Ghetto to the Treblinka concentration camp. In 5749, Iraq walked out of the talks with Kuwait, and that ended peace talks in the Middle East for us. And then 5754, it was a bombing outside the building of the American Jewish Solidarity. So it's called AMIA, and it's the community center in Buenos Aires in Argentina, where 86 people were killed and 300 others injured. So it's a long, long history of absolute terror for the month of Av, ending on Tisha B'Av.
Chalashin for Chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
So we're talking about the month of Av, which ends obviously the 9 days and the Tisha B'Av. There are a lot of things that we aren't doing during the 9 days and during the 3 weeks as well, but the 9 days becomes a lot more strict. And the reason for this is it is the increase of the mourning period for us in our Jewish history. Obviously, being the Essen Fressen show, I'm focused on food. And that's what I'm going to talk about. You tell people they can't have meat or chicken for 9 days and they kind of freak out. As I said before, we kind of react the same way that we do to Pesach, and the thought of Pesach is with absolute dread and what am I going to feed everybody? A lot of people feel that a meal, once again, as I said earlier, isn't balanced unless there's a meat protein or an animal protein. I must admit, the 9 days for me is my cooking challenge time. Looking for new recipes, trying to find new ideas, find ways that I can encourage my heavy meat eaters to enjoy vegan food. So I get a lot stricter and not stricter, like a lot more inventive, let's put it that way. And I search the internet and there are an overwhelming number of websites available to find these foods that you have. And there are a few that I like to use more and more than the ones. But I also only look for things that have got 5 stars next to them, because anything less than that, I'm not even going to bother. Remember, these are mostly professional people doing this. So if they're getting 5 stars, I'm at least guaranteed a 4. So that this is how I choose my recipes off the internet. I don't use fish. The reason being, I've got one person who literally will not sit at the table if there is fish. It is that bad. And secondly, have you seen the price of fish? Hake is the cheapest, and it is almost the same price as buying your mincemeat or your chicken. It's, depending on where you get it from, it's around about 100 rand a kilo. And it's not as filling as I would like it to be. And then I've got one who will eat it, and if they found even one bone, will stop eating the entire meal. So it's an important thing to think about when you are doing fish. Buying the fish in the boxes, the frozen fish, is great because 99% of the time, you're not going to find bones or scales or anything on the fish. But like I said, expensive. I don't tuna, but like the obvious things, and I used to do that when the kids were small. The obvious things were things like lasagna, tuna lasagna, vegetable lasagna. Very easy, easy to make with frozen vegetables, easy to make with bottled pasta sauce and a box of pasta. Your lasagnas. Nice and easy, grate some cheese over, everybody's happy. But I'm tired of those. I've done 25 years of that. It's enough already. I'd like something different. Obviously, mac and cheese in winter, it's a comfort food. Gotta have mac and cheese. And there are some really amazing mac and cheese recipes out there that are slightly different to what you normally would. When I'm feeling very indulgent and I can do it, I make my mac and cheese with cream as a base instead of your normal roux, the flour and water and milk. And it's just much richer. I use 3 different kinds of cheese in the mac and cheese. With the Kalev Yisrael cheese, it is a little bit more difficult because they pretty much all look and taste the same, except if you've got them from overseas. So once again, thank you, Sharon Lurie, for bringing some back for me. When she was in England a while ago, like Pesach time, my family went mad for the cheese. So that was fun. Another option for the 9 days, pizzas. Who doesn't like pizza? Me. But there's a homemade pizza versus the store-bought pizza. And when the kids were very young, we would often have the pizza bases by the bases, and they'd be in the freezer. And you can top them with whatever you want. So cheese divided in half, half cheese, half, I don't know, feta and avo, whatever you want on them, just for something different. But it's not a healthy, really a healthy option. It's very high in fat. And just because it's the 9 days is no excuse to throw your diet out. It can be a bit more lax, but I wouldn't get rid of it. So I like to try the different ideas. And my meal plan ingredients are going to be items like tofu, lentils, edamame beans, peas, legumes. The reason for this is those are all very high protein foods, and they give you the nutrients you absolutely need, and they actually are quite filling. So legumes include things like chickpeas. So last night, even though it's not the 9 days, it was Monday, so I made a chickpea curry from one of my favorite vegetarian or vegan, actually, websites, and it's called rainbowplantlife.com. It is a long recipe, so I don't make it a lot because it takes about 30 minutes for prepping and 30 minutes for cooking. It's a bit of a pain, but it is really a good chickpea curry, and you can adjust it to make it as spicy as you like or as mild as you like. I will give you that recipe shortly. It's important to understand that as a meal planner, I like to plan ahead. I fell off the wagon for my meal planning and my food bill went up. My food waste has gone ridiculous. It's absolutely, I'm wasting so much. And one of the things I learned with meal planning, and it's still a learning process, I haven't got it right yet, is to try and use the same ingredient across multiple recipes. So buying stuff when you know you're not going to use the whole thing, and then finding recipes that are going to use up the rest that you can cook with. And where that comes in, first of all, there's obviously an app that I use for this because they put it on there and it's wonderful. They make the choices for me. But it's also a nice challenge for myself. If you've got the time to go onto the internet, and I can get lost in the internet for hours looking at recipes, finding ingredients. And it's pretty simple. All you do is type into your search bar the 3 ingredients that you've got, whatever it is. And it will tell you, you know, recipes with that. So if you've got a recipe that you really want to make, then I suggest you go and look at that. And from there, those ingredients, list them up on your Google search, and it'll give you other recipes using the same things.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is SN Fresen. It's all about the food.
So as I said, I use the 9 days as a chance to test my skills, to stretch my culinary skills and learning. So my menu already planned for the week is going to be black bean burgers, lentil dal, macaroni and cheese, because even grown-ups need comfort food, tofu stir fry, and the chickpea curry. Now, I know I'm going to repeat it because we had it last night and it was so good that I'm making it again next week. It just really was great. Now, black bean burgers are actually a staple in my house for a long time, from Meatless Mondays, at least 5-10 years. And even the meat eaters like it. The first time I served it, nobody actually noticed they weren't meat. So it is a really, really nice, you know, thing. And that recipe comes from allrecipes.com. And once again, as I said, I only choose one that have 5-star ratings. And this one did. It's just such a nice meal, and it is filling. What you will find with lentils and legumes is that they are a filling meal, so you're not missing anything. Then winter, obviously dal. There's dal makhani, which is the one I used. It is on my website, and it's just a beautiful, rich dairy meal. You can make it with butter, or you can make it vegetarian, it depends on you. But I did it with the real butter, and it was this thick, creamy, rich, delicious meal. Use dried lentils or canned lentils. The canned lentils, obviously, you don't cook as long. I did the dried lentils because the longer you cook the dal, the more the intense the flavor gets. And it just is beautiful. And it's not spicy, so it's just a nice one. And it's a different way to serve lentils. Then, obviously, macaroni and cheese. Like I said, I make, depending on what I'm in the mood for, I will either make it the traditional way with just a normal cheese sauce, or I do the cheese sauce using cream instead of milk, flour, and butter, just for something different. And then you can top that off with breadcrumbs. You can top it off with beautiful salt and vinegar chips, if you can still get those, or the lightly salted chips. Just crush them over the top to give it a bit of a crunch. Sometimes when the kids were younger, I would put in vegetables in my macaroni and cheese. Now you can get, if you buy it, that you can get the checked broccoli and the checked cauliflower from Fresh Villas. So I would suggest the checked broccoli just because of the green color, and get the kids to eat some vegetables. The other vegetable that I put in is peas, and everybody loves that. And then you can add tomato as well. I've seen people doing that. The last one is tofu. Well, firstly, the tofu is just to annoy my family. I love tofu. I'm the only one who likes it. But when I cook it right, I can get everybody to eat it. And there is a skill to cooking tofu, I have to admit, because if you don't do it right, it's basically tasteless mush. And I'm learning as I go along how to do it. And from my favorite website, which I said to you was the Rainbow Plant Life, she has a beautiful tofu stir fry, and I'm going to share the recipe with you in a moment, along with the chickpea curry that I made last night, which is also from her website. Now, these are all very, very budget-friendly meals. Tofu maybe not as budget-friendly, but it's not expensive, and it does help with your budget. So here are some recipes that may save you money because they use similar ingredients. I went onto an app called Sorted Sidekick, and I got these three down. Option one, tofu and harissa orzo. Now, orzo is the pasta rice. Then there is a vegan dandan rice noodles. Dandan is a type of flavoring for your Asian cuisine. And then rice noodles, well, you can get that in a lot of places. And you don't have to use the rice noodles. I have used vermicelli or angel hair pasta before, and it did come out nice. Another one is lentil hummus and roasted eggplant. That is three recipes that use similar ingredients, so you will be able to reduce your food waste. Option two, another three recipes. I've tried some of these, so I do know that they are good. The first one is a creamy vegan pasta. It was absolutely delicious. No cream in it, no butter, no milk. It was 100%, vegan. Salt and pepper tofu with avo dressing, and then roasted cauliflower or butternut, spinach, potato, and coconut curry. Now, the potato actually turned out to be potato chips when I made this. I didn't realize that at the time. I also used butternut and not cauliflower, and it was wonderful. Now, option three is spiced sweet potato and peanut soup with lime and coriander. So if you've got somebody who doesn't like coriander, be a little bit careful with this one. It does use quite a bit. Then creamy vegan spinach and garlic pasta. And then the last recipe is a miso mushroom hot pot. Now, getting kosher miso is not always a possibility. So when I can't get it, I use the thick soya sauce instead of it. Or you can do, I think Dis-Chem sells the liquid aminos that is kosher, and that can be used in place of miso. Tofu is my ingredient of choice for this month. Remember I said I like tofu, but it's so underrated as a protein. Please remember there are people who are actually allergic to tofu because it is soy-based. So here is the recipe. It's a spicy recipe, but obviously you're going to be able to adjust your heat and serve it with some rice. It takes you 25 minutes to prepare, but it only takes 15 minutes to cook. So plan your time nicely. they want 3 to 4 tablespoons of a neutral flavored high heat oil. They ask for things like avocado oil, but you can just as easily use sunflower oil. Then they want a 400 gram block of extra firm tofu. Now, you can buy the extra firm tofu. You can buy these at Woolies. They've got the three kinds. They've got soft, they've got medium, and they've got the soft, firm, and extra firm. And they really come in a box, sit in your cupboard, and you can forget about them for a few months until you need them, which is why I like tofu so easily. It's a nice thing to keep in the pantry for emergencies. A half a teaspoon of kosher salt. So kosher salt, we all know the kosher ring salt, but you can get the Maldon salt if you prefer. A half a teaspoon of white pepper, a half a teaspoon of garlic powder. So just warning you, the half a teaspoon of white pepper is part of where the heat comes in. A heaping quarter teaspoon of Chinese five spice powder. Now, this is optional, but I love the flavor of the five spice. It just gives that beautiful warmth. Then 3 tablespoons of cornstarch or maizena. You will find with most stir fries, cornstarch and maizena are very much part of the meal because it gives you that crunch. It adds that crispness. Then your stir fry sauce is 1.5 tablespoons of soy sauce, 1.5 tablespoons of rice vinegar. You can use ordinary vinegar, but it just doesn't taste the same. 2 tablespoons of hoisin sauce. Now, I make this, and you can find it on the internet. It's basically soy sauce, garlic, peanut butter, some rice vinegar, some chili, and you just blend it all together. But you can actually buy it. I have seen it, not recently, but I did see it at one stage, either at Kosher World or Moishe's. Then we want 2 tablespoons of Shichong wine. Now, we can't get that, so you can use vinegar instead. 1 tablespoon of organic brown sugar, just use plain. 1 to 2 tablespoons of chili garlic sauce and 3 tablespoons of water. Your vegetables or aromatics is a 5-centimeter piece of ginger, finely chopped. Don't grate it or mince it. 4 cloves of garlic chopped, also once again not minced. And then 500 grams of vegetables of your choice. You want vegetables that are going to hold their shape, keep firm, but cook quickly. So things like strips of carrots. So you can buy those ready done. Julienne carrots, julienne baby marrows. I often use green beans. I use onion. And then Chinese cabbage if you can get it. Or even just spinach. Then for your finishing touches, you want your 1 teaspoon of cornstarch or maizena plus a teaspoon of cold water mixed together to make the paste. 2 teaspoons of either black sesame seeds or toasted white sesame seeds. Now, when you're toasting sesame seeds, it's a dry pan. You just put them in and just keep tossing them around so that they don't burn, because they do burn quickly and then they start to pop, which can be a little bit disconcerting. 2 teaspoons of toasted sesame oil and then 3/4 of a cup of coriander leaves and tender stems. So you want the leaves and the stem and you chop them up very roughly. You can substitute this if you want with dry coriander, and then it won't give it that soap taste that so many people struggle with. And then 3 to 4 cups of cooked white rice or brown rice, whichever you want, to serve with. So that is the ingredients. It's a long recipe, I have to admit, a lot of ingredients, and all her recipes are like that, but they are so worth the effort. The next, to do your tofu, if you've never worked with tofu, you open the box and then you have to wrap it in a thin dishcloth and you weigh it down with a heavy book or something to help squeeze out all the liquid, because there is a lot of liquid. She does suggest sticking it in the freezer, freezing it, and then doing that process. I've never done that. You're going to do that for about 15 minutes, and in the meantime, you're going to make your sauce ingredients in a bowl or your measuring cup, whichever you want, and your veggies and aromatics. So get everything prepared while the tofu is being weighted down. Then you cut your tofu into 4 equal squares. You're going to make it into a small you want them about a centimetre each. So you cut four squares, then you cut each square again four times, and it should give you 1 centimetre cubes. And you're going to put that into a large bowl or a baking pan. You're going to coat your tofu with salt, white pepper, garlic powder, the 5 spice if you're using it, and some of that cornstarch. And you're going to sprinkle about half of that over the tofu, turn it over, and then sprinkle some more, and make sure, coat it with your hands. If you use a spoon, the tofu is going to break apart. Fry the tofu by lining a cutting board with paper towels, obviously opening the windows because it's kind of going to get smoky in there. Now, if you have a wok, heat the wok to a medium-high heat until you see the smoke coming up. Then you add your oil, so to prevent the sticking, and you swirl it around the pan so that the oil gets all the way over. If you don't have a wok, just use a large nonstick frying pan. Heat it over a medium-high heat for 2 minutes, then add your oil and heat it for another 2 minutes. Cook the tofu on the side for 4 to 5 minutes, then toss it and cook it another 6 to 7 minutes. And you just shake or rotate the pan every minute or so just to stop it from sticking to everything. And that's how you do with the wok or the nonstick frying pan. Either way will work well. But you need to move it around, otherwise it sticks and it goes black. You need to also adjust the, depending on how many people you're cooking for, adjust the size of your pan to fit. If you've got like just 2 people, you're not going to use so much, obviously. To finish the stir fry, you're going to return it to the stove once it's, you know, you take the tofu out once it's cooked, put it on paper to absorb oil just for a little bit, and then you wipe out the pan. You don't want anything left in it. You're going to return the pan or the wok to the stove, and you're going to heat it again until it's smoking. You add a tablespoon of oil, you add your garlic and ginger, and you're going to stir fry that for about 20 to 30 seconds, and obviously making sure it's not sticking. Then you add your vegetables, you're going to stir that, you're going to fry that for about 1 to 2 minutes, and I would suggest adding things like your carrots and your broccoli first, and then your softer vegetables. So if you're using something like bell pepper, which I often use, add those last. And then the sauce. You add the sauce to the stir fry another 2.5 minutes until the vegetables are nice and tender. If you're using spinach or bok choy, just watch. They go tender very quickly and they wilt in like just 30 seconds. Mix your starch, your maizena and water in a bowl until it's well dissolved. And then you add it to the pan and stir it until thickened and glossy. It's very quick to do this. Turn off the heat. Add your tofu, your coriander, your sesame seeds, and the sesame oil, and toss all of that well, and then just serve it over rice. So a lot of prep in her recipes always. They are very long. Once again, it's rainbowplantlife.com. And I love doing that. I find her recipes just enjoyable to make, even though they do take me long, and I'm not a favorite, like it's not my favorite thing to do, these long-winded recipes. So the other recipe was the chickpea curry. And for that, once again, you can adjust the heat as you prefer. And what I liked about this recipe, I'm going to leave it on, I'm going to tell you it's once again Plant Life, Rainbow Plant Life, because it is a long one, it uses a lot. It's your neutral oil, coriander seeds, and cumin seeds. And then she asked for fresh curry leaves, but I only had dried. So you do need to use a little bit more dried leaves than fresh leaves. But I must admit, I didn't use as much as she asked for because I don't find it necessary. And she does say in the recipe that it is optional. 1 large onion. You can use yellow or red. It doesn't matter. 6 cloves of garlic minced. Once again, depending on how much spicy you like it. A 5 centimeter piece of fresh ginger, minced or grated. 1 to 3 serrano peppers, diced. Now, I didn't have that, so I just added 1 chili, and it was fine. 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, and then at once about 230 grams of tomatoes. So Roma or plum tomatoes, truth is, I went out to my garden, discovered I had tomatoes in there, took them off the vine, and perfect. 2 teaspoons of kosher salt, then 400 mils of full-fat coconut milk. For this, I didn't use coconut milk. I don't like the taste. I used oat milk instead, and it tasted just fine. 1/2 cup of water, 2 cans of chickpeas drained and rinsed. Now, if you are looking at vegan cooking or baking, keep the chickpea juice because that can be used instead of egg whites. So it does make a good mayonnaise. It makes amazing meringues as well, by the way. Then 3 tablespoons of tahini. Now, you need to stir it well. It's not tahila. It's the tahini, which is very runny and very oily. So you do need to stir it before using it. And then 1/2 teaspoon of sugar. You can use any kind of sugar that you want. They asked for Swiss chard. I don't like checking big lettuce, big spinach leaves, so I used baby spinach instead. And a big handful of fresh mint leaves chopped. The truth is I didn't have any, so I didn't use them, and we didn't miss them at all. It was delicious. I'm going to finish with the spices, and then we'll carry on afterwards. So your ground spices, 1 1/2 teaspoons of curry powder, 1 teaspoon of ground coriander, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of grated nutmeg, 1/4 teaspoon of turmeric, and a generous amount of black pepper.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Right, let's get back to cooking a chickpea curry. So, after that long list of ingredients, there are some very simple steps to make this curry. The first is to heat oil in a heavy bottom pan or Dutch oven over a medium-high heat. Once it's hot, then you add the coriander and cumin seeds, about 30 seconds to a minute, depending on if you're on gas or electric, and you just stir it quite often because you want it just slightly darker and for the aroma to start developing without burning. Then you need to add your curry leaves. Now, if you're using fresh curry leaves, be careful. It's going to splatter. So as soon as you add the curry leaves, stick a lid on and you just cook it for 20 seconds. If you've got dry leaves, you can just stick them in and you can cook them for a bit longer. It's not a problem. My suggestion is also to keep a little glass of water next to you, because when you add the vegetables, if they start to stick to the bottom of the pan, just put a little bit of water on and it'll, like, they call it deglazing. You can then just scrape off and stop it sticking. You're going to add your onion with a pinch of salt and cook that for 5 minutes until they start to get color, but not too much. Just remember, if the spices start to get too dark, just lower the heat. Add a splash of water, like I said, as you need to prevent the onions from sticking or from going too brown. Then add your garlic, ginger, your peppers, your chilies, and cook for about 1 to 2 minutes, stirring frequently. Add your ground spices and your tomatoes paste and stir that for 90 seconds. If it dries out, you can once again add some more water. Then you're going to add your tomatoes and your kosher salt, and you just use the tomato juice now instead of the water to scrape off the browned bits. And you're going to cook that until the tomatoes start to go soft and all the oil is released from them. Pour in your chickpeas, your coconut milk, your water, your tahini, and your sugar, and stir them well. Bring to a simmer. You're going to cover that for 15 to 20 minutes. Just stir it every now and again. Then when you are ready to add your greens, so like I said, 20 minutes, you're going to chop up whatever you're using. So your spinach, your coriander, and your mint, you're going to obviously remove the center ribs because you don't want them like hard and crunchy, which is why I prefer the baby spinach to Swiss chard or kale. And you slice them very thinly. You then chop up your mint and your coriander, and add the greens in, and you simmer until they're about wilted. Sorry, and that takes about 4 or 5 minutes. Add your garam masala and combine it. Now, once the heat is off, you can squeeze in a little lime or lemon juice, and then you add your cilantro or your coriander and your mint, season to taste, and just let it rest for about 5-10 minutes. To just develop that flavor a little bit more, and you can serve that with rice or just with a flatbread. Like I said, her recipes are amazing. Now, when I'm doing the stir fry, especially her tofu stir fry, I'm not very good at julienning, which is cutting into strips. I find it very, very difficult. So two of the kitchen gadgets that I wanted to review, they're called multifunctional vegetable cutter. Now, mine's pretty old. I had to dig it out. I have to be honest, I did have to look for it. But it works really well, and it's great for stir fry prep. And I have recently seen them advertised on what Take a Lot, Temu, and all of those places. They suction nicely onto the counter, so it's not going to move around, and it's like a drum mechanism. And you just put your vegetable or whatever on top, and you turn the handle, and it will cut your vegetable the way you want it. Does make a lot easier. And it's got the different attachments, so you can either slice or cut it into strips. Just remember to place your bowl, the right size bowl, to catch all the vegetables that come out. If you misplace it, you land up having to clean your kitchen counter. Now, it is a little difficult sometimes when you're using things like carrots or harder vegetables to cut it. But once you're doing things like baby marrows, it's quick, easy. And that was the only difficulty I had with it. There was another multifunction tool that I suddenly thought about that would go nicely when you're wanting to make things like soups. And that is, it cuts the vegetables. It cubes them, or you can make fries from them, whichever you prefer. And this one I found a little tougher to use in terms of the fact that the container that it sits on is quite small, so you do have to keep emptying it often. It's got a non-slip rim around it, so it shouldn't move around too much, but if you press too hard, it does. And the other thing is that if you are not strong, or if you're short like me, pressing it down is a little difficult because you've got to get above it. So I had to put it on a lower counter just to get the leverage to cut through some of the tougher vegetables like the onion to chop them up. And it comes with like different settings and all that kind of thing. Mine is also fairly old, so I am missing a few of the settings, but it did work. The thing with the fries, if you're doing potatoes to make French fries, whether it's skinny fries or thick ones, it doesn't matter. Please remember to have a bowl with water next to it so that you can take your potatoes out of the receivers and into the water. Otherwise, they go black and it just does not look, nothing wrong with the potato, but they oxidize and they don't look so good. So you did need a bit of strength for that. And that's what we did. It really, really is great. Now, the reason I want to use these kind of things, and I'd prefer to use the frozen vegetables, these over frozen vegetables, is that I find the stir fry frozen vegetables, when you defrost them and cook them, are quite limp and soggy and just not pleasant. Whereas the cubed vegetables or the frozen onion, you're frying them up anyway, or they're going into soup, and it really just makes life a little bit simpler and quicker. So there's no need to put in the extra work. I just want to do my skills. So that is my gadget review for the week. Now, there's something I want to do for this coming month. So I'll be back next month. But I want you, in the meantime, to challenge yourself. So the ingredient I've chosen for everybody to challenge himself, there's two. The first one is tofu. Practice, learn about it, find out how it works, and just mess around with it. Deep fry it. You know, in tofu, once it's marinated, takes on whatever you marinated it in. The only thing I would suggest not using the tofu with would be something like spinach or something like that, because both of them are very high in calcium. And if you have issues or health issues, I'd be careful with it. But if you're only going to do it like for one recipe and you're not going to do it again, not a problem. It's when you're doing it a lot that it becomes an issue. The other ingredient is another ingredient that we kind of, all of us look at it and you cook it either two ways. We either boil it to death, or we fry it up with a bit of onion, which is the French way of doing it, and that is the green beans. Now, the green beans are string beans, and the reason they're called string beans is because when they're growing, well, when they used to grow on the vine, they used to have a little string like alongside it. And an interesting fact about green beans is that in 1894, the first stringless bean was grown by Calvin Kinard in New York. So quite an interesting thing there about the green bean. Now, green beans have been around for ages. They're versatile. They're nutritious. They are a great addition to a meat-free meal because they are legumes and they fry up really, really well.